Good morning, Brett.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. How's your morning?
Yeah, it's been pretty good, actually, thanks.
Excellent. Okay. Look, Brett, I have to ask, this is probably the most important question of the whole interview. What's your favourite highway patrol car that you've ever driven?
Well, I'm going to have to go back to an old favourite. The good old V8 Commodores, I reckon, were the best ones we ever had.
It's a real shame to see them
disappear.
They sounded awesome too, didn't they?
Yeah, that was
a
very good car.
Oh, very good, very good. Chalk one up for the old Holden boys. There we go.
That's it.
Now,
always a Holden man.
That's it. Now, look, Highway Patrol, Brett. Almost everybody that gets caught by the Highway Patrol will always say, oh, yeah, look, I was only doing 6 or 7 or 8 kilometres over the limit or whatever. So they try and justify their own mistake. Look, tell us why that's the wrong way to think about speed.
Yeah, look, speeding is still one of the most prevalent causal factors in a lot of serious crash and fatal crashes around the state and around the country for that matter. And you know, it might only be 1 kilometre or 2 kilometres or, you know, 10 kilometres or something, and people try and, you know, justify it by saying, I needed to go to the toilet, I was running late for this, I'm running late for that. But at the end of the day, like, even the low speed crashes, like the energy from a collision, you know, for every extra kilometre over, you know, is exponentially applied to the object or the person that you hit. So obviously, you know, the damage to the car and therefore the damage to the occupants of your in your car and the people in the other car obviously increases as well. So it's very important that we realise that the speed limit is the limit. We don't have to drive at that speed, but it's the maximum limit. So that, you know, you're either just under it or just on it. So
that's it. I mean, it's a guidance for the maximum limit. It's not a you must do 100 Ks, is it?
That's exactly right, yeah. And the councils and the transport main roads, they set the speed limits for a lot of reasons, and that's, you know, it's the conditions of the roads, the infrastructure that's around the roads, like there could be a lot of trees, not many barriers, you know, so the traffic might be really heavy in a certain place. So there's a lot of reasons why those speed limits are set to what they are.
Okay.
So it's important that motorists remember to stick to, you know, the posted speed limit or under it.
Yep. And what about the fines that are actually linked, I guess, to the severity of the speeding offence?
Yeah, so that's really an important thing at the moment. On the 1st of July, we're going to see actually a quite significant increase in speeding fines. So just to give you an example, a lowest speed which is applied at the moment is $1,183. That'll be increased to $287. So that's like a $100 increase on that one. And to go to the other end of the spectrum, our high speed, so that's more than 40 kilometres an hour over the speed limit, currently carries a $1,286 fine, and that'll increase to $1,653. But more importantly, it carries 8 demerit points, so that's 3/4 of your driver's licence gone. As well as a 6-month automatic license suspension. So something you have to take into account as well.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, really is. I mean, it really is trying to be a deterrent, isn't it, to, you know, try and stop people and make them think before they actually sort of put their foot down just that little bit harder.
Yeah, absolutely. The fines and the merit points designed to try and deter motorists from doing the wrong thing. But, you know, hopefully for most people, that's an adequate deterrent.
Yep. Okay, well, look, what about seatbelts or not wearing them? You know, they're another thing that people often try and justify to themselves that isn't really necessary.
Yeah, seatbelts is a very good point, actually, because, you know, most people do the right thing and they'll have themselves and their passengers and their kids all buckled up nice and tight, doing the right thing. But we still have a lot of people who are getting caught either not wearing the seatbelts at all or wearing them incorrectly. So a seatbelt's designed to work within the safety features of the vehicle if it's worn correctly, so, you know, over the shoulder, you know, worn properly. Some people stick it under their arm or just hang it over their shoulder or don't wear it at all. And, you know, you can have your seatbelt on tucked under your arm. Because it's not correct, you'll still get a fine for that because it's not worn in the correct manner.
Right, okay.
And probably the other big thing too is people need to remember that they're responsible as a driver of a car for everyone who's in their car with them. So they really shouldn't be taking off from a parked position until everyone in the car's got their seatbelt on and they've checked. And especially for kids under 16, you know, they're not as responsible as adults probably are. They make sure that they all wearing their seatbelts. And remember that if a passenger or a child doesn't have their seatbelt on in your car, not only is the adult passenger liable for a fine, but also the driver's liable for permitting him to do it as well.
Yeah,
so
okay.
In essence, two people could get a fine for the one offence. So.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people don't, a lot of drivers don't realise that. That I mean, it could be someone else doing something wrong, but you will cop it as well for not keeping an eye on what's happening in your vehicle.
Yeah, that's right. It's pretty rare for adults to receive a ticket for a passenger, but they'll always get one if there's a child unrestrained in the car.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. And look, what about this, you know, almost compulsion that almost all of us feel to get through that next set of traffic lights, you know, even if the light is yellow or even worse, if it's red?
Yeah, it's the old speed up to beat the orange light syndrome that
yeah.
a lot of people seem to have. But, yeah, and like, that's really dangerous, obviously, because, you know, I know when I drive around going through traffic lights, even if I'm going through a green light, I always check, you know, left and right to make sure that someone's not trying to get through the red light on the other, coming the other way as well, because it happens so often that, you know, a car will go through a red light and will T-bone, you know, the other car that's trying to go through correctly and safely. So, you know, and those crashes are often the T-bone crash, and that's where the passengers and drivers of the car that you hit are the least protected from the side. That side impact is, you know, is where occupant of the car you hit is most vulnerable. So it's really important that we're not running those red lights or trying to beat the orange and then run a red light accidentally. Keep the other people safe are trying to travel through it correctly.
And even if you do have that green light, I mean, it's always good to be aware of what's coming from your left and right, isn't it? I mean, that other car might be a genuine accident. They may not have seen the red light, but it doesn't matter. If it hits you, it's still gonna hurt.
Absolutely, yeah. Every day of the week, yep.
Okay, well, look, Brett, let's have a quick talk about technology. As much as computers and phones and all sorts of tech has progressed over the last decade or so, look, so have the detection methods, obviously, even when you guys are mobile in your vehicles. Without giving away any of the secret sauce or anything, look, tell us about some of the detection methods that are available to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been doing this for 30 years now, and you know, a lot's changed in that time. Technology's gone leaps and bounds, and obviously the... probably the greatest leap forward in technology are the camera detector defences. So, you know, for a few years now, police around Queensland and around the world, for that matter, have been using speed cameras to obviously detect drivers going through a certain speed zone over the limit. And then, you know, you get a fine in the mail for that. That's been around for quite a considerable amount of time. A little bit less than that was the red light cameras, obviously to try and detect those people who are trying to, you know, run the orange and get the red type scenario. I've been around for a while. The biggest change for them in recent times is a lot of those cameras now have speed detection built into them as well. So the driver who tries to speed up through the orange to beat the red might beat the red, but oftentimes they'll cop a speeding fine because they've had to speed up so much to get through the intersection. So it's a bit of a double whammy there. Sometimes people get a speeding ticket and a red light ticket, so that they cop for both.
That would hurt.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah. That's when you know your license is in a bit of trouble.
That's right.
And, yeah, probably the most recent one is the cameras that you might see around in different streets now, which are the mobile phone and seatbelt cameras, which you may have seen in the media recently, you know, caught in excess of 100,000 people in recent times, either on their phone or not wearing a seatbelt or not wearing it correctly. So it's been quite scary how many people are especially committing the mobile phone offences that have been caught by those cameras as well.
Yeah, and that comes down to actually sort of, you know, like taking note of your surrounding, isn't it? You know, if you're on the phone, you're obviously not taking notice of where you are.
Yeah. It's pretty much impossible. If you're texting or scrolling we had an offender the other day who was one of my guys got watching the news as he's driving along on his phone, you know, which that's a whole other offence. But highly distracted, obviously. You can't see, you know, what you're doing at the time. Yeah, it's very, very disappointing to see that type of behaviour.
Yeah, exactly. And look, the next point from that on, when you have these offences, the demerits point system, tell us about how that's applied to the various levels of offences.
Yeah, so basically everyone with a I'll call it a clean licence has 0 points. So everyone starts at zero. So just say you've got a mobile phone offence, so and that gets finalised, so you'll end up with 4 points applied to your licence. So everyone has, I'm going to talk about open licences here as opposed to learners and provisionals, but if you're on an open driver's licence, you get to accumulate, before you lose your licence, up to 12 points in any three-year period. So after 3 years from the date of that offence, you get those points taken back off. So you'll go back to zero again. You don't get any other tickets in between. So if you've got another one 18 months later, you'd have 8 points. And then the 3 years from the first one, you go back to four. And then 3 years after, you're back to zero again. So that's the way it's worked out. For learners and provisionals, for the young people, they only get 4 points for 12 months. So their loss of license is a lot easier to achieve by just, you know, committing a couple of simple offences. So they need to sort of watch that. And the other thing to be mindful too with your demerit points is that the higher end speeding fines, mobile phones, seat belts, and motorcycle helmet offences, if you get caught committing the same offence within a 12-month period, the second lot of points that get applied are doubled. So if you get picked up for a mobile phone, you get 4 points. 6 months later, you get caught again. That's 8 points that time. So that's your 12 points. So that's your licence gone.
Wow.
So that's something for the listeners to sort of be mindful of if they you know, commit those offences more than once in a 12-month period.
I did not know that, and I bet a lot of people out there also didn't know that as well.
No, we don't have the double demerit like they do down south over holiday period, but we do have those that double demerit, and that's 365 days a year, so they're always there.
Right, okay, there you go. We're all on notice on that one. Very good. Very good. Look, Brett, thank you very much. I'd better let you go because it sounds like you still have a full day's work ahead of you.
You're very welcome.
Great. Look, thank you for talking with us this morning, Brett. We really appreciate you taking the time to have a chat with us. That's Senior Sergeant Brett Stevenson of the Highway Patrol.